very much, man. Matthew chapter 20 today, Matthew chapter number 20. You know, we're preaching through the book of Matthew in the New Testament. And the Lord says, love your enemies. And for some reason, I've had a great love for Brother Gary this week. You know I can't let him have the last word, right? That's a sign of great spiritual strength, is you have to get the last word in. I'm kidding, okay? Loosen up a little bit, all right? It's a joke. You'll never know for sure, though, will you, right? I'm kidding with you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. We've come to the closing portion of this chapter together. God willing, tonight we'll go into chapter 21, but we're finishing up chapter 20. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still, called them, and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. If you mark your Bible, there's a phrase found in verse number 30. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the phrase, two blind men. Two blind men. Let's pray together. I'm going to share this thought with you. Father, we love you, and we need you this day. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. If there's anything in my heart and life that's hindering you, I want to confess that to you. I ask you to forgive me and remove it. And as we come around your word today, we praise you that we have a copy of your preserved, inerrant, infallible, inspired word with us today. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to your word. Lord, you have already said what you meant, and you have meant what you said. Help me not to add to it or take away. Help me to preach it faithfully. May a smile come to your face as you hear your message preached. And may you help me to preach it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The parallel passages of this particular passage, if you're taking notes through this series, is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, and Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As we come to the last section in this chapter in our study through the book of Matthew together, we're reminded of how the Lord Jesus has just been dealing with true greatness in the eyes of God, having to do with ministering to others, not being ministered to, being a servant to others, not wanting to be served. Now we come to this section here, and as they depart from Jericho, the Bible says that there was a great multitude that was following the Lord. Now as the Lord is going along, the Word of God turns its attention on two blind men sitting by the wayside. Now the parallel accounts only mentions one of them. They mention blind Bartimaeus. And it's pretty much through my study, it's been brought out that the reason the other two basically just mentioned blind Bartimaeus is that he was apparently the spokesman of the two. He was the one that was the leader of the two, and he was the one that was doing the most talking. But we know from the account of Matthew that there are two blind men sitting by the wayside. One thing to note about these men is how they had a physical ailment. They had a problem. They were blind and they could not see. Now in these two blind men, it is these two blind men that I want to draw our attention to in this service, because that's exactly what the Word of God does. It starts focusing in among the multitudes following him. It centers in on these two blind men. And as we consider these two blind men, ask the Lord to speak directly to your heart and to deal thoroughly with you. May I remind you, as I told my Sunday school class this morning, that Bible facts, the devil does not mind you knowing about the Bible as long as what you know doesn't change your life. He wants you to listen. He doesn't mind if you learn about these two blind men, as long as you don't take that truth and apply it to your life and your problems and go to Jesus the way they did. Now, this being the case, there are three things I want to give you about these two blind men. A little bit different today, because a lot of times I apply it under the point, not going to do that. I'm going to give you the 3 points about this story, these two blind men. Then I'm going to apply it at the end of the message. Now, that being the case, point number one, two blind men, first thing about them, they were desperate. We see this in verses 29 and 30. Not going to read it again, but I'm focusing in here on their need. They were blind men. And may I say to you that this was their desperate need. They could not see. Here's the point that God spoke to my heart about. They had a circumstance in their life that was humanly hopeless and humanly helpless. They were beyond human intervention. There was no man that could cure this problem, is what I'm saying to you. They had a need that only supernatural strength could help. The point is they had a desperate need that no man on earth could help them with. They needed the touch of God. They needed the Lord. Only He could help them with their problem. So first of all, we see them desperate. Secondly, we see them determined. We see this in verses 30 and 31. I will read this. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." See, as the Lord passed by, these men were told about it. They couldn't see Him. So when they heard the commotion, they were like, "What's going on?" And the parallel account tells us that there were those who told these blind men that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. See, they heard from others that their source, get this, their only source of help and their only source of hope was in their area now. And He was passing by where they are. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they began to cry out. You know what that word cry means? It means they screamed. It means they cried aloud. In other words, they didn't say, "Oh Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." No, see, they couldn't see Him. They didn't know exactly where He was, but they knew He was in the area. They knew He was around, and they got determined that He would at least hear their cry. And they screamed out, "Oh Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They were screaming, and the Bible says that when they did this, the multitude rebuked them. They told them, excuse me, to shut their mouth. They told Him to hold their peace. In other words, He's not interested in you. He's too busy for you. This is below Him. You just be quiet. He's got better things to do with His time. Yet we see that the point here is they would not be deterred by the callousness of others. The Bible says when the crowd said, "Shut your face," the Bible says that they cried out the more, saying, "Oh Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." John Phillips put it this way, their sense of need was stronger than any desire to be at peace with the multitude who blocked their way to Jesus. They did not let the crowd hinder their crying out for the Lord's help. They didn't listen to the opposition around them. Get this, they knew their chance of receiving divine healing had come, and they were determined to get to Jesus Christ. Spurgeon put it this way, men who have lost their sight cannot be quieted if there's an opportunity of obtaining sight. I'm telling you, put yourself in their position. You are blind. Nobody knows exactly when this happened, but many believe that it was from birth. We don't know. We can't prove that. But we know at this time in their life that they were blind. They could not see. They were beyond human help. There was no human being that could help them with their problem. But they knew about Jesus. They heard that He's a miracle worker. They knew that He's the one that if anybody could heal them, Jesus could heal them. And may I tell you that if you and I were blind and Jesus was walking by in our town, and you know that if He hears you and if He would just love you enough, if He would just spend time with you, maybe somewhere in His heart, He would help you out. Let me tell you, once you know that the answer is around you, you would not care what anybody says about you. You would call out and call out and call out. Why? Because you know He's the only one who can give you your sight back, friends. They were determined. They were not going to let the crowd shut them up. They were going to call out to Jesus, just claiming and hoping that the Son of God would love them enough to meet their need. I'm telling you. Let me tell you why they called out to Jesus. Because their need was serious enough. Let me tell you why there are many who are not calling out to Jesus. They don't realize the serious need they really have. They don't understand what kind of a situation they are truly in. And I'm telling you this morning that these two blind men are desperate. They have a need beyond the touch of man's hand. They are determined that when Jesus is passing by, they're not going to let that opportunity pass them up. And number three, we see they were delivered. We see this in verses 32 to 34. Notice it. And Jesus stood still. Boy, I like that. They didn't know it. They couldn't see it. They were blind, calling out, and the opposition saying, shut your face, be quiet, he's too busy. Please, Jesus, have mercy upon us, thou Son of David. They're calling out and identifying him as the Messiah when they call him the Son of David. They're identifying him that he's the promised one of God. They are making the right claim on him. And the Bible says that when he was on his way and he was passing by, he heard their cry and he stood still. Here's my word. That's powerful, friends. Jesus stood still. The Bible says, and he called them. Can you imagine? The parallel accounts talking about Bartimaeus says that they came to him and said, be comforted. He calleth for you. Can you imagine that? He's blind. He's calling out. And all of these people saying, be quiet, I didn't have time. Oh Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And all of a sudden he gets a tap on the shoulder. What is it? Can't see you. What is it? Be comforted. The Master calleth for you. Man, that's good stuff right there. I'm telling you what's the truth. He called them and he said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, notice verse number 33, notice the language, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. Well, you know what that means? It means he loved them. And he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. When these two blind men refused to stop calling out to Jesus for his help, the Word of God tells us that Jesus stood still and called them and asked them what they wanted. Question, did he already know what they wanted? Yes. Great lesson for us here. Somebody says, why pray? He already knows. Let me tell you why I pray. Because he likes to hear it, friends. He knows. But he wants you to come to the point to where you recognize your need. And he wants you to ask him specifically what you want. So when he gives it to you, if it's in his will to do so, you know he answered your prayer. Glory day for these two blind men. Can you imagine when they heard that Jesus was calling them? They told him their request was for their eyes to be open. The next verse tells us the Lord Jesus loved them and touched their eyes. The Bible says immediately they received their sight. They had been calling out to the right one. He was the one who could cure their desperate need, and he did just that. Imagine for a moment being in their place. They're blind. They cannot see. However, they call out to Jesus for his deliverance, even in the face of opposition. Others trying to pin him down. Others trying to say, don't do it. Stop it. Stop it. He's not listening to you. He's too busy for you. They're calling out. The Bible identifies in parallel accounts that it was their faith, you see. They believed. And their faith and their calling out caused the blessed Son of God to stand still. When all was said and done, they come to him, but they still can't see him. They can hear his voice, but they can't see his face. And they come to him, and he says, what would you have me to do? Their eyes are blinded. And in faith, believing faith, because later he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. In believing faith, he said, that our eyes may be open. And the Bible says that Jesus, standing there looking at these two blind men, who had this desperate need, the need that was beyond any human hand, the need that needed God's touch, this need that they were so determined to get to him, and they weren't going to let the crowd smother out their cries. He loved them. Aren't you glad God loves you today? Jesus loved them. And the Bible says he touched them. And immediately their eyes received sight. Can you imagine being there and those scales drop off and you can see, and the first thing you see is the Son of God standing before you? What a day. What a glory day for these two blind men. I'm telling you, Spurgeon said, believing Christ can hold the Son of God by the feet. That's what he said. You believe God when you cry, it gets a hold of God's feet and he stands still for you. They never saw his miracles. They only, glory this blessed me right here, they never saw his miracles. All they went on was hearsay. All they had was the word that they heard. And even though they had never seen it with their eyes, they believed it in their heart. And they believed that Jesus was the answer to their problem. And he did not disappoint them. Mark tells us that the Lord told Bartimaeus that his faith had made him whole. And as a result of this miracle the Lord performed in their lives and the faith that they had in him, the Bible says they followed him in the way. Let me tell you something, that's only natural. When you really get what Jesus gives, you'll want to follow Jesus, friends. Because when he changes your life and you realize that you're on your way to hell and God delivers you, there's nothing inside of you that doesn't want to stay away from him. You want to be as close as you can to him because he's been so good to you. I'm telling you that they wanted to be close to him. They followed him in the way. They wanted to be around him. He had changed their life and they wanted to get as close to him as they could. Luke tells us that Bartimaeus followed Christ, glorifying God. And that all the people who saw it gave God praise that day. May I say to you, what a story. What a Savior. All praise goes to our great God. Here you have two blind men. Nobody knows exactly how long they've been blind. And yet they have a need that's a desperate need. They're beyond the touch of human hands. They need something beyond what a human being can do. They are determined that when the source of help, the only answer, Jesus Christ, was coming into town, they were determined that he was going to hear their cry. No matter what the crowd said, they kept on crying. And yet the Son of God heard their cry of faith and stood still, called them to himself, opened their blinded eyes. What a beautiful story. But I ask you this question. How can that story help me? What's in it for me? It's a great story to think about what the Lord did. But do you understand that Jesus did that and put this in his word because he knew that on this day in January that your pastor would be preaching this message to you? What's he saying to us? How do we apply this to our life? I want to apply it in two ways. I want to apply it to lost people. And then I want to apply it to born-again people. There's an application here for both. First of all, let's deal with the unsaved. Just as these blind men had a need that was beyond any human help, there were no human hands that could touch them. Now, we know the Lord was human, but he was also God. He was the God-man, friends. And I'm telling you that they were beyond what only a human could do. They had a need that only God could meet. In the same way, if you're lost today, the Word of God teaches that you are spiritually blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and following, listen to this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's what that passage tells me. That tells me that there is a spiritual blindness that's so much worse than a physical blindness. There's the god of this world, the little g, the devil of this world, that his job, his duty, what he's doing is he's trying to blind lost people's minds and hearts and spiritual eyes to the truth of the gospel. And may I tell you that just like these blind men had a need that only God could meet, I'm telling you that a lost person is spiritually blind in need of a Savior. A man is born in sin and under the bondage of sin and its payment of spiritual death and separation from God. Romans 3:23 teaches us this. There is absolutely nothing a man can do to earn his salvation. He is beyond any human help. However, if a lost person, I get this, will see his never dying soul on its way to a burning lake of fire and will see his need of salvation and see that the only answer is found in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and call out to him for forgiveness, not allowing what others say or think to deter you from that salvation cry, the Lord Jesus will stand still for you too. And he'll reach down and save your never dying soul. I'm telling you that there is a God in heaven, and he's not one answer to heaven. He is the answer to heaven. He's not one answer to sin. He's the answer to sin. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that completes the redemption plan of Almighty God. God does not need my help to save me. He doesn't need my help. My need is beyond human help. I'm spiritually blind. I'm in need of a Savior who can snap the blindfolds off of my heart. And I'm telling you that when you hear the gospel, Jesus is passing by. Every time the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit is passing by. He's coming by your seat. He's calling out to you. But do you recognize your need? The reason these blind men called out is they recognize their need. Don't you see that? How crazy would they have been? They can't see anything. Somebody says, Jesus is passing by, the one who can cure your eyes. What if they said, I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems. What are you talking about? I don't need him. I've been just fine this far, and I'll be fine the rest of the way. You listening to me? They knew. Are you listening? They knew God had more for them. And they knew the Lord could heal their eyes. And their need motivated them to call out to Jesus. Let me tell you why lost people don't call out to God. They don't want him. Let me tell you why lost people don't call out to Jesus. They don't believe that there's a burning lake of fire. I heard on the radio this week that an atheist has been writing material and putting it on Facebook, and he made this statement, I'm paraphrasing, that if a parent teaches their child that there's a burning hell, that's worse than child abuse. He put that on Facebook. I don't say this with glory in my heart, but that man's going to find out different one of these days, friends. Let me tell you his problem. He doesn't believe the Bible. And God spends very little time for atheists. He just gives maybe with two verses. And both of them, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What am I saying? I'm saying this. What motivated these two blind men to call out? They knew they needed Jesus. You need the Lord. I need God. I needed him for salvation. So do you if you're lost this morning. Don't let him pass you by. Call out to him. And in faith, he'll stand still. And he'll let you come close to him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9-13, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I cry like a baby all the time. I know it. When I start getting blessed, I cry, friends. When I start feeling the presence of the Lord, I cry. How it must break God's heart for somebody to say what Jesus did on Calvary is not enough. How that must break his heart. Let me say this to you. This is a Baptist church, but we cannot save you. We never have claimed to, and we never will as long as I'm here. Amen. There is no church can save you. There is no ordinance that can save you. There's no sacrament that will save you. It is Jesus. He's the only one that can cure blinded eyes. We apply it to lost people. But a majority here, if not all. By the way, if you are lost, let me say this, because I know one way the devil tries to blind you is to make you think, look at all these people. What will they think if you go forward? May I say this to you? That's just like the multitude who rebuked him and said, hold your peace. But their need was great enough that they didn't care what the others thought. Amen, amen, friends. Amen. But a majority, if not all, are saved. So how do we apply this to our life? And if you are lost today, there was a time when I was lost. I've been where you are. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Then we who are saved, how can we apply this to our life? Just as these blind men had a need beyond any human help, placing them in a situation that seemed hopeless, there are times in a Christian's life that things like this pop up. I'm talking about things that you would not choose for yourself. Things that are beyond human help. Things that when you look at it, it seems hopeless. It seems helpless. What's the use? May I tell you, it could be something like a personal sickness. I was visiting with a dear man, and I don't have his permission to share this, but it's all good. He's in the hospital right now, and he was here for the Christmas cantata. And found out not long after that he's got days to months to live. He's got stage 4 cancer in his pancreas. He came to me after the cantata, right back there, Brother Gary, and he basically said, I felt God here tonight. The Lord's in this place. I visited with him yesterday in the hospital. And I was so challenged. He said, read Nahum 1:7. And he called out Revelation this and read this. And his wife sitting over there in the corner saying, oh yes, honey, don't you remember this? And she started quoting scripture. He just found out he's got days to months to live and he's rejoicing. He said, you know, he said, I've got a mom and dad on the other side. He said, both grandparents, sets of grandparents are on the other side. But he looked at me and he basically said this. He said, can you imagine seeing Jesus? Amen. That man wouldn't choose this for himself. Maybe it's a personal sickness. Hey, maybe it's a marital problem. Maybe you come on Sunday mornings and you and your wife sit there. But it's World War III at home. And nobody here may know about it, but you and your wife know. Hey, maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's a child that grew up in your home. Now they're grown and gone. Or maybe they're there now and you just wonder, oh, Lord. It's hopeless. Maybe it's an impossible work situation. You go to work and you're a Christian, but it's ridiculous there. Maybe it's a stronghold in your life, such as worry, or doubt, or fear, or lust. Maybe it's a strong, I don't know what it is. But let us learn from this story that all we need to do is recognize our need. That can only be met by the Savior. And in turn, not allow anybody or anything to deter us from calling out in boldness to Him for help. He's the only answer to life's problems, friends. He has the power to help you and heal you if He so chooses. Call out to Him. Believe Him. I'm reminded in the New Testament of the man who had the great need. We've already preached on him, but he had the great need, and he came to the Lord, and the Lord said, if you can only believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And that dear man of God, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. God, I do believe. But there's a sin of unbelief trying to rear up in my heart. What did the Lord do with that man? Ah, you don't believe me enough. Come back later. No. He answered his prayer. We serve a great God, friends. God's been good. I'm simply trying to tell you, if you're a child of God and you have a need that seems hopeless, you have a need that seems helpless, you have a need that seems like there's no answer, you might as well throw in the towel. Oh, don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Hear the blessed Son of God. Hear the commotion around you. Hard to hear it sometimes, I know that. But hear the commotion around you and start asking, what is this? And somebody will say, Jesus passeth by. Recognize your need and recognize Him as the answer and call out to Him for help. You say, Jody, how are you going to close this message? Here's how I'm going to close it. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, look at the top center section there. What's the date? At the very top in the middle, what's it say? A.D. what? When did Jesus die? When he was how old? From what we understand, this was the last chance these blind men would ever have to get healing. As far as we know, the Lord never passed that way again. Get this. This was their last opportunity to get what they so desperately needed. My friends, we are at the mercy of the Lord. He does not have to pass by our heart again. So if He is, take advantage of it. If you're lost, realize this. Boy, this gripped my heart when I found this statement. Listen to this. If you're lost, realize everybody hears the gospel message for the last time. Everybody does. There will come a time in your life if the Lord tarries His, but even if He doesn't tarry His coming, still on earth, everybody will hear the gospel message for the last time. This could be yours. It's a vital decision. If you're saved and have a need, don't let Him pass you by without calling out to Him with all of your heart, begging for His help. Isaiah 55:6 says this, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. What is Jesus talking to you about? He's passing by at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this morning. Will you see your need and call out to Him in believing faith? No matter what the world tries to tell you, D. differently. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Brother Gary, I rarely do this, and you may have already chosen this, but I'd like to sing "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Father, take this thought, use it in a mighty way. Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they find their place, they're going to begin to play. There are two types of people listening to me today, those who are lost and those who are saved. If you are lost, I would like to deal with you first because that's the major need in your life. Friends, your life may be on a mountain seemingly, but if you're lost, you are in the deepest valley of your life. Do you see your need? Do you see that Jesus is not an answer, He is the answer? Do you recognize the trouble you are in and the place that you're headed to? Oh, do you see that you're blind and you need Jesus? Is there one say, Jody, pray for me, I need to be saved? And I realize that what's been keeping me from calling out is I've not realized how much danger I'm in. But I do see my need this morning. I do need to be saved. And I want to be a Christian. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I want to be saved and enjoy heaven for all eternity. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to call out to Jesus for salvation. I need to be saved. Is there one like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to know the Lord as my Savior. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord, but I have a desperate need. I have a desperate need. I have one of those needs that you're preaching about today that's beyond human help. I have one of those needs that you're preaching about today that the Lord is the answer. He's not an answer. He's the answer. I have one of those situations in my life right now that maybe my own heart's been speaking to me, trying to get me to be quiet and ignore it. But you say, Jody, I realize now that I don't need to listen to anybody or anything else. I just need to listen to the Lord. And I realize He's passing by today. And I know what I need to do is call out to Him. Have you have something like that in your heart? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I've got something like that I'm dealing with. God bless you. That's several hands. That's many hands. God bless you. In just a moment, I want to invite all of you to come to this altar. You don't have to come up here, but I do challenge you to come because it's a good way of committing yourself to the Lord. If you don't come to the altar, I trust that you'll make your seat an altar there and pray to God, talk to God. However the Lord's dealing with you, I do challenge you to come because there may be lost people here who are just waiting on the first person to go. If they see you come, it gives them courage to come and they come and be saved. Whatever the Lord's dealing with you about, call out to Him. He's passing by. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. Challenge us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, come now. Would you do it as he sings? Come, come now. Let's talk to God about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Come talk to Jesus. Call out to Him.
Call on others our call.
I have a need. I've got a desperate need. Call out to the one who can help you with it. Refuse to be quiet. Talk to Jesus. We'll give you another opportunity to respond. Oh, Brother Keith Kaiser, oh, I miss him. What a man of God. He taught us in homiletics, and I've said this before, putting sermons together. He said, listen, man, God's already said what He meant. Just give it the way He gave it. I'm trying to do that. Can I say something to you? May I say something to you? The Lord doesn't need me to spruce up His Word. He doesn't need my stories and all this. Let's just be faithful to preach what He's already written down. He does business with us that way. It's the Lord's Word that changes our life, not a preacher. Not a preacher's, his style, how he preaches. He gets loud, he gets soft. That has nothing to do with it. It's the power of the Word of God. That's what changes us. May the Lord help us. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing the next verse, and there's still time for you. Still people praying as he sings, you come.
Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others our
lady here, precious, precious girl, has the touch of the Lord upon her life. Appreciate her parents and so on. She's been having some physical issues and they've not been able to narrow it down. What is it? What's going on? It's kept her out of school a little bit. And I'm going to ask her father, if you wouldn't mind, Pastor Shelton, and your wife, if she's here. I'm not sure if she's not here. I'd like to have some of our ladies, several of our ladies, if you wouldn't mind. Let's just surround her here and pray with her. Ask the Lord to be with her. Several of you ladies, you just come on now if you wouldn't mind to do that. This will be our closing prayer here. As we pray, I'll lead us in prayer, but I hope you'll wrap your arms around this young lady and let her know you're praying for her. A troubling thing when they can't find, what is it? You know what I mean? And we're praying it's nothing serious and that the Lord will reveal it. Hey, the Lord already knows. Amen or not, friends? So why has He not revealed it? I don't know, but I know this. In the meantime, He sure loves to hear His children calling out to Him. That's the message. So let's call out to Him, all right? If you're not praying for something going on in your life or a family member, I hope you're praying for this young lady and her family. Father, we love You this day and thank You for the privilege to pray. And I do pray for faith. I pray, Lord, that You help her to live by her name. Give her the faith she needs to believe You. Bless her daddy, bless her mama, bless her brother, bless her family. Give them strength. Peace that passeth understanding. We call upon You and ask You, if it be Your will, to reveal this to the doctors so they can correct it. She can get back in school, finish what You've given her to do. But in the meantime, help her to become more like You than she ever has been. Help me to do the same. Bless, I pray. We love You this day. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. They're playing through. You're dismissed. I'm going to have Faith stay right here. Some of you other ladies would just want to come. Hug her neck. Not you men now. Don't you hug her neck. But you ladies, you come and hug her. Some of you men, you want to come talk to Pastor Shelton here. Let him know you're praying for him, his family. Just be an encouragement to them. Help them during this time. May the Lord help them through this.